Have you ever pulled up a weather briefing, scrolled past those big blocks of text labeled Sierra Tango or Zulu and thought, I have no idea what that just told me? You're not alone. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, right here on Radio Hangar, and today we're going to crack open the world of in-flight weather advisories. ARMETs, SIGMETs, and convective SIGMETs. These are the products that tell you where the atmosphere is trying to ruin your day, and once you learn to read them, your go or no-go decisions get a whole lot sharper. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. Alright, let's walk through this together, starting from the top. When you get a standard weather briefing, whether you're using 1800wxbrief.gov, 4Flight, or calling flight service on the phone, you're going to see three levels of in-flight weather advisories. Think of them as a hierarchy. At the bottom, the least severe, you've got ARMETs. In the middle, SIGMETs. And at the top, the one that should make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, convective SIGMETs. Let's start with ARMETs because these are the ones you're going to encounter most often, and they're the ones student pilots tend to gloss over. ARMET stands for Airman's Meteorological Information. And yes, the Federal Aviation Administration still uses the old term airman, even though we all know pilots come in every variety. An ARMET is issued when weather conditions are potentially hazardous to small aircraft, to light aircraft, to pilots who are not instrument rated, or to pilots who are not experienced in the type of weather being described. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. That description basically means you. If you're a student pilot, a freshly minted private pilot, or even a low-time instrument pilot, an ARMET is talking directly to you. There are three types of ARMETs, and each one gets its own phonetic identifier. A ARMET Sierra, a ARMET Tango, and a ARMET Zulu. ARMET Sierra is for IFR conditions and mountain obscuration. Sierra, as in Sierra, like the mountains. When you see ARMET Sierra, the atmosphere is telling you that ceilings are expected to drop below 1,000 feet, visibility below 3 miles, or that mountains are going to be hidden by clouds and fog. If you're a VFR pilot and you see Sierra covering your route, that's a big yellow flag. Maybe not an automatic no-go, but it means you need to dig deeper. Look at the TAFs along your route, check the METARs. See if the timing lines up with your flight. Maybe the IFR conditions are forecast for the morning and you're flying in the afternoon. But if Sierra covers your destination during your arrival window, you need a serious conversation with yourself about whether this trip is happening today. ARMET Tango is for turbulence, moderate turbulence, sustained surface winds of 30 knots or greater, or low-level wind shear. Now here's where a lot of pilots get confused. Moderate turbulence in an ARMET doesn't mean what you felt on that bumpy summer afternoon flying over a parking lot at 2,000 feet. Moderate turbulence in aviation weather terms means you're going to have difficulty maintaining altitude and airspeed. Unsecured objects are going to move around the cabin. Your passengers are going to grab the armrests and look at you with that look. In a Cessna 172, moderate turbulence is genuinely uncomfortable and can be dangerous if you're not ready for it. So when you see ARMET Tango on your route, take it seriously. ARMET Zulu is for icing. Moderate icing and freezing levels. This one is critical for instrument pilots and for anyone flying in colder months. If you're in a typical training aircraft without known ice equipment, which is almost every training aircraft out there, ARMET Zulu along your route at your planned altitudes is essentially a no-go for flight into those clouds. Full stop. Now here's the practical piece. ARMETs are valid for 6 hours from the time of issuance, and they cover large geographic areas. We're talking areas of at least 3,000 square miles, so an ARMET might cover half of a state or more. That's important because it means the hazard described might not be everywhere within that area. It's a broad brush. That's why you cross-reference. You see ARMET Sierra over your route. Go check the actual TAFs and METARs for the specific airports you care about. The ARMET tells you to pay attention. The TAFs and METARs tell you the specifics. Let me give you a real scenario. You're planning a cross-country from Austin, Texas to Oklahoma City. You pull up your briefing and you see ARMET Tango covering most of central Texas and southern Oklahoma for moderate turbulence, below 8,000 feet. Your planned altitude is 4,500. Does that mean you cancel? Not necessarily, but it means you need to think about it. Check the winds aloft at 3,000, 6,000, and 9,000. Is there a big wind shift or speed change between layers? If the winds at 3,000 are out of the south at 15 and the winds at 6,000 are out of the west at 35, yeah, you're going to get bounced around. Maybe you go higher, maybe you go earlier in the morning before the atmosphere heats up. Maybe you go tomorrow. The AirMets started the conversation, you finish it. Now let's step up a level to SIGMETS. SIGMET stands for Significant Meteorological Information, and these are more serious than AirMets. A SIGMET is issued for weather that is hazardous to all aircraft, not just small ones. We're talking severe icing that is not associated with thunderstorms, severe or extreme turbulence, not associated with thunderstorms, volcanic ash, dust storms, or sandstorms, lowering visibility below 3 miles. When you see a non-convective SIGMET on your briefing, pay close attention. These are rarer than AirMets, but when they show up, they mean business. A SIGMET for severe turbulence is telling you that even the big jets are getting tossed around in your Piper Cherokee. That's a hard no. SIGMETs are valid for 4 hours, except volcanic ash SIGMETs, which can extend longer. And they cover even larger areas than AirMets. If a SIGMET is sitting on your route, you should be thinking very carefully about whether this flight needs to happen today. Here's something worth noting. The difference between AirMet and SIGMET is not just severity. It's the audience. An AirMet says, "Hey, less experienced pilots and small aircraft, watch out." A SIGMET says, "Everybody needs to watch out. When the SIGMET flag goes up, even airline dispatchers are rerouting flights." And now we get to the big one, convective SIGMETs. These are specifically for thunderstorms and convective activity, and they are issued by the Aviation Weather Center in Kansas City. A convective SIGMET is issued when you've got a line of thunderstorms at least 60 miles long, an area of active thunderstorms covering at least 40% of an area of 3,000 square miles or more, or any embedded thunderstorms or severe thunderstorms, with surface winds greater than 50 knots, hail at the surface 3/4 of an inch or greater, or tornadoes. Let me say that differently so it sinks in. If you see a convective SIGMET on your route, there are thunderstorms strong enough that the government felt compelled to issue a special warning about them. These are not the little rain showers you can see and fly around on a summer afternoon. These are the storms that eat airplanes. Convective SIGMETs are only valid for 2 hours, but they get reissued frequently because thunderstorms move and evolve quickly. And here's what every student pilot needs to understand about convective activity. You do not fly through it. You do not fly under it. You do not fly near it. The airman certification standards are clear that you need to demonstrate risk management related to weather, and a convective SIGMET should immediately shift your thinking from planning the flight to planning the alternative. Can I go earlier? Can I go later? Can I go around it? Or do I need to stay on the ground? The examiner is looking for you to demonstrate judgment about weather, and honestly showing that you understand what a convective SIGMET means, and that you chose not to fly because of it? That's not weakness. That's exactly the aeronautical decision-making the FAA wants to see. Let me walk you through how these advisories actually look when you pull them up on 1800wxbrief.gov or in most electronic flight bag apps. Weather advisories are presented both as text and as graphical overlays on a map. I really encourage you to use both. The text version gives you the specifics. It tells you the advisory type, the area affected using VUR references and state boundaries, the valid time, the hazard, and the expected conditions. It might say something like, ARMAT Tango Update 2, valid from 1600 Zulu to 2200 Zulu, moderate turbulence below 12,000 feet over portions of southern Colorado and northern New Mexico. That gives you the what, the where, the when, and the how bad. The graphical version lets you see it on a map so you can immediately tell whether your route goes through it. I'd look at both. The graphic gives you the big picture. The text gives you the details. Now, one thing that trips up a lot of pilots, especially during check ride oral exams, is the question of who issues these products. ARMATs and SIGMETs are issued by the Aviation Weather Center, which is part of the National Weather Service. Convective SIGMETs are also issued by the Aviation Weather Center. They all come from the same place. But the update cycles are different. ARMATs are routinely scheduled and updated every 6 hours. SIGMETs are issued as needed. Convective SIGMETs are issued hourly at 55 minutes past the hour, and as special updates when conditions change rapidly. The other thing your examiner might ask about is Center Weather Advisories, or CWAs. These are different from SIGMETs and AirMets. CWAs are issued by individual air route traffic control centers, the facilities that handle en-route IFR traffic. A CWA is a shorter-term, more localized advisory. It's basically a meteorologist at a specific center saying, "Hey, we're seeing something right now in our airspace that you need to know about." CWAs are valid for up to 2 hours. They're supplemental. They don't replace SIGMETs or AirMets, but they fill in the gaps between those bigger products. So let me give you a decision-making framework that I think will serve you well. When you're doing your pre-flight weather briefing, here's how I'd approach the advisories. First, check for convective SIGMETs along your route and at your destination. If they exist during your planned time of flight, that's your biggest red flag. Start thinking about alternatives immediately. Second, check for SIGMETs. Severe icing? Severe turbulence? Volcanic ash? These are all potential showstoppers, especially for general aviation. Third, check the AirMets Sierra Tango, Zulu. These are your yellow flags. They may or may not be deal breakers depending on your experience level, your equipment, and your personal minimums, but they demand further investigation. Cross-reference with TAFs, METARs, pilot reports, and winds aloft. Fourth, and this is the piece a lot of students miss, check the outlook. The briefing will often include an outlook for conditions beyond the valid time of the current advisories. If you're planning a 4-hour cross-country and the outlook calls for conditions that would trigger a SIGMET during your return leg, you need to factor that in now, not when you're 200 miles from home wondering why the sky is turning dark. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Weather advisories are not pass-fail. They're not a test where Sierra means no and clear means yes. Their information, your job as pilot in command is to gather that information, understand it, and make a decision that accounts for your experience, your aircraft capabilities, and your personal minimums. A 2,000-hour instrument pilot in a well-equipped Bonanza might look at an AirMet Tango and say, I'll manage it. A 60-hour private pilot in a 152 should look at that same AirMet and think a lot harder. Neither decision is wrong. They're different pilots with different capabilities making different risk assessments. But both pilots need to know what the advisory is telling them. One more practical tip before we wrap up. If you're on a cross country and you hear ATC issue a pilot weather advisory, or if you get an update through ADS-B weather on your tablet, treat that as a prompt to reassess. Weather is not static. The AirMet that was 100 miles north of your route when you took off might have expanded or moved. Stay engaged with the weather throughout the flight, not just during the briefing, and file pilot reports when you encounter significant weather. Every PyRep you file makes the next pilot's briefing a little better. You're part of the system. This one came together from the FAA's Advisory Circular 7-1, the Aviation Weather Services Handbook, and the AIM Chapter 7 on Safety of Flight. Good stuff in there if you want to dig deeper. Swing by RadioHangar.com if you want to keep the learning going. I'm Pattern, and I'll catch you on the next one. Fly safe out there.